The voice of God calls us to awaken him. How will he find us when he comes?
Awake and pray.
And when he asks us to dedicate ourselves to him ever more perfectly, how will he find us?
Awake and ready.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Friend, beloved God.
Friend, beloved God.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Babaji Krishna.
Babaji Krishna.
Lahiri Mahashaya.
Lahiri Mahashaya.
Swami Sri Yukteswar.
Swami Sri Yukteswar.
Beloved Master.
Beloved Master.
Paramhansa Yogananda.
Paramhansa Yogananda.
Saints of all religions.
Saints of all religions.
Divine friend Swami Kriyananda.
Divine friend Swami Kriyananda.
Humbly we bow to you all.
Humbly we bow to you all.
We are deeply grateful.
We are deeply grateful.
For the sound of your inner voice.
For the sound of your inner voice.
That called us to this moment.
That called us to this moment.
Of divine worship.
Of divine worship.
Come to us.
Come to us.
Speak again in our hearts.
Speak again in our hearts.
And again and again.
And again and again.
That we may always know.
That we may always know.
That we are your children.
That we are your children.
Perfectly loved.
Perfectly loved.
For all eternity.
For all eternity.
Om. Peace.
Peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Thank you. will rise like dew to the sun. Sorrows will turn to joy, your griefs to delight. Children, rejoice, for lo, the kingdom of God comes in full splendor.
What is this life flowing through my veins? Can it be other than divine? What is this life flowing through my veins? Can it be other than divine? In thy light, in thy love, in thy joy, I am one with the infinite.
In thy joy I am one.
I am one with the infinite home. In thy light, in thy love, in thy joy, I am one with the infinite home.
Christ was born on earth in response to the needs of all men. And those who walked in darkness, but now received him in their souls, did see a great light and awoke to the eternal love that God holds for us, his human children.
Jesus has shown his pure form. Upon a high mountain he stood, transfigured, 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 transfigured in light, that his chosen might see that he was the Christ.
Oh, hope of all.
Love is forever ours. In that eternal love, death itself, that ancient enemy, is vanquished, and life and joy reign forever and ever in our souls.
Life cannot die, only death can meet death. In Christ resurrected was the truth of Christ proved. In Christ resurrected was Christ's truth proved. Thank you. gioia, 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 sempre nuova gioia, 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 gioia. Sempre nuova gioia, 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 sempre nuova gioia, 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 gioia. Sempre nuova gioia, 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 sempre nuova gioia, 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 sempre nuova gioia.
Let's meditate together for a few minutes now, sitting up straight. As much as possible, keeping your attention at the point between the eyebrows, calling on Christ, invoking an experience of ever new joy. Keeping our attention inwardly focused, let's listen to these words written by Swami Kriyananda on our spiritual quality for this week of immortality. You are not your body. You are not your thoughts, your desires, your changing personality. Your body has a certain age, but you, yourself, have no age. Your body may tire or become unwell, but you yourself, the fatigueless soul, cannot tire, can never know disease. Tell yourself always, I am a child of eternity. Don't be identified with your outward form, nor with change, but live in timelessness. It is our identity with change that creates the illusion of passing time. Feel that through all outward changes, you, the immortal soul, remain the same. Death itself will be but one more change. Be not identified with it. Then, when death comes, you shall rise in eternal freedom. Please repeat this affirmation with me. We do it several times, always with our energy high, but first we do it outward, loudly, and then we take it quietly, more inward. I am a child of eternity.
I am a child.
I am ageless.
I am ageless.
I am deathless.
I am deathless.
I am the changeless spirit.
I am the changeless spirit.
At the heart of all mutation.
At the heart of all mutation.
I am a child of eternity.
I am a child of eternity.
I am ageless.
I am ageless.
I am deathless.
I am.
I am the changeless spirit at the heart of all mutation.
I am the changeless spirit at the heart of all mutation.
I am a child of eternity.
I am a child of eternity.
I am ageless, I am deathless.
I am ageless, I am deathless.
I am the changeless spirit at the heart of all mutation.
I am the changeless spirit at the heart of all mutation.
And now in a whisper, I am a child of eternity. I am ageless, I am deathless. I am the changeless spirit at the heart of all mutation. And now with your energy strong, but inward, I am a child of eternity. I am ageless, I am deathless. I am the changeless spirit at the heart of all mutation. And now repeat after me. Wherever my body travels outwardly, let me feel thy changeless presence within.
Wherever my thoughts take me,
let them return always.
Like prodigal children,
to find repose in thee. Om. Peace. Amen.
This is a reading from the Rays of the One Light, weekly commentaries on the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita by Swami Kriyananda. Week 15, Easter, resurrection for every soul. Truth is one and eternal. Realize oneness with it in your deathless self within. The following commentary is based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, we read the inspiring account of Jesus' resurrection. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They've taken away the Lord. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in their midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. The resurrection of Jesus, doubted by many but affirmed by those who were close to him, was a miraculous event, though not one unique in history. For many great saints of other religions have appeared to their disciples after death. Sometimes their appearances have been, as that of Jesus was, in flesh and blood form, and not only in vision. Paramahansa Yogananda relates an autobiography of a yogi the account of his guru, Sri Yukteswar's resurrection after his early passing. Miracles of this type are revealed only rarely to the masses, but accounts of them, related by men and women of reputed truthfulness, have inspired many devotees with faith in the reality of subtler than material states of existence. Resurrection, Yogananda explained, means transformation, ultimately, from any lower state of being to a higher one. Worldly consciousness cannot imagine such transformation except in terms of perhaps an improvement of the present mess of pottage with the addition of a new flavoring. Divine consciousness, however, is capable of taking the base metal of worldliness and transforming it into the spiritual gold of divine wisdom and love. In keeping with this truth, the Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter tells us, Ah ye who into this ill world are come, fleeting and false, set your faith fast on me, fix heart and thought on me, adore me, bring offerings to me, make me prostrations, make me your supremest joy, and undivided unto my rest your spirits shall be guided. Thus, through Holy Scripture, God has spoken to mankind.
Earlier in the Bible, long before this dramatic moment, there was a time at the end of Jesus' life when he was beginning to winnow out the weaker disciples from the strong ones. Not in any sense that he intended to abandon them at all, but only because he knew that the end of his physical incarnation was coming. He also knew the nature of his death, and he also knew the extraordinary challenge that his disciples would face once he had left this body. And he knew that the disciples needed to be strongly united together in their faith and in their understanding of what his teachings had been, or else under the pressure that would come to them and did come to them, they would not be able to stand strong, and they certainly would not be able to stand together. The power of disciples is to a part of the power, if you're not completely solitary, is that you do have the vibrational understanding of those who share your spiritual path. And if among that band of remaining disciples there was misunderstanding about his teachings or lack of stalwart commitment, then the entire mission was in jeopardy. So in that period, many disciples, many who had been, you might say, more on the periphery, but we don't actually know whether core disciples also, it was too much for them. Eat my body, drink my blood was the catalyst primarily that the Bible tells us. But who knows what else Jesus was doing. Swami Kriyananda says that in Master's life, at the end of Master's life, he also began to push somewhat against people in a way that he hadn't done before, testing their mettle, because he also knew that they had to be strong to go forward. Please, again, it's very important to understand the guru wasn't abandoning them. He was just doing what was needed in order for the mission to go forward. So many disciples were leaving that Jesus said to Peter, "Will you also leave me?" Many of you have heard me tell this story many times because it's so meaningful to me. He said to Peter, "Will you also leave me?" And Peter answered by saying, "Where would I go?" Peter didn't have any intellectual explanation. He didn't understand what was happening. All of the great retrospect that, you know, comes after everything is finished and people can analyze it is quite different than in the moment. Peter is standing there. He's watching, no doubt, he's watching close friends leave. Certainly over 40 years of living at Ananda, I've watched a lot of people come and go. Some of them just move on to where they're meant to be. Some of them make a huge noise as they leave, and even after continue to shake their fists at what they consider, whatever they consider it to be. But so Peter was no doubt watching people who he had faith in and had loved leave. But when Jesus asked him that question, Peter answered with the devotee's true answer, which is, what I don't have to understand, I would love to understand, I don't have to have a good explanation, but there is something in me that says I don't exist except in relationship to God and Guru as Jesus was to him. And then everything else is moot. Whether you're comfortable, whether you like it, whether things are going well, whether you're facing impossible challenges, whether you're losing all your money and all your friends and all your family, or whether the world is falling at your feet and heaping rose petals on you, it just doesn't make any difference. This is who I am. Any more than I could get up this morning and say, this arm is getting very tiresome to me. I think I just won't have it anymore. you know, as it ages, it looks really different. I don't really like it. You know, there's just no way I could be. Where could I go that it's not going to go with me? Now, what we have to try to both understand and the purpose of understanding it is very simple, so that we can cultivate it within ourselves. What did Peter know that enabled him to answer in such a moment with such a beautiful answer for the ages? Well, I was thinking about this also because there's this in the Gospel of John, which we often read from because it's the more mystical of the Gospels. In the readings for Easter, we choose from all different places, but John is more, he understood Jesus far beyond the physical incarnation, more than some of the other gospel writers did. But he never uses his own name. He always refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved. And all the way through, whenever when he was sitting close to Jesus and they wanted to know who was going to betray him, because Jesus hinted that one of you will betray him, the other disciples were afraid to ask, so they asked the one whom Jesus loved. And everywhere, that's how it always is. Now, you know, on a very superficial reading of that, you would think, well, that's kind of proud, isn't it? You know, I'm the one that Jesus loved. I mean, words have very different, can be interpreted in very different ways. They're just symbols of our thoughts. And that's why so often, so amazingly, one can say something and then it's handed back in creative ways that one never imagined were possible, because they're symbols and they're read by, it's not a direct transference. But what John was speaking of is he was speaking of that experience, that fact, that single fact about himself that of course caused him to never, ever waver in his relationship to Jesus, because he had found through Jesus, and it was John who also said, to all who received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And so what are we receiving? We talk about receiving his vibration of consciousness, his superconscious awareness, but on the simplest level, what we are receiving is love. And that sounds so simple, doesn't it? Why don't we just receive that? You know, but love is not such a simple power to take in. And especially not the love that the Master offers to us. Because this is not a love that supports all our weaknesses. This is not a love that indulges all our littlenesses. This is a love that asks everything of us and also promises that it will give everything back to us. This particular Easter Sunday, by a divine quirk of the calendar, happens also to be Swami Kriyananda's Moksha Day, the day that he himself, that he left his body and I believe went into a state of infinite freedom. That's what moksha means. He died it was Sunday morning in Italy when he died, but it was Saturday night in America. And it was just before 11 p.m. when we got a phone call that he had passed. And it was 6 days after Easter. Easter had been actually it was a whole week for him. It was the Sunday before was Easter. And Swamiji had given what turned out to be his last public talk. It wasn't that he never spoke again, although he was very silent during the last months of his life. So there wasn't much conversation even in that whole week. But the last time he stood before a public group was Easter Sunday at the church, at the Temple of Light in Assisi, Ananda Assisi. And he was quite fluent in Italian, so he spoke in Italian. And that talk was recently, you know, posted again, it's easy to find, with nice English subtitles under it. English is more succinct than Italian, so they would put the whole meaning of what he was saying, and he would only be partway through it. You know, if you could follow the Italian, it would take him longer to say it than it would take you to read it like this. And it's a beautiful talk to watch for many reasons. But the very end of it, the last messages that Swami left on that were very interesting. Well, first I'm just going to be amusing. He spoke Italian fluently, but every once in a while he slipped up a little. And in the middle of the talk, it says, he says emphatically, "You are not fish." You read across the bottom, "You are not fish." And then he kind of keeps up and he apparently says, "You are not fish." And then the next one, it says, sinners? And there's a little conversation. Apparently the word for sinner and fish in Italian are very close. So he had declared emphatically, "You are not fish." And then somehow he sensed from the response he was getting. And so there's a little sort of off-camera conversation while he gets the word right. And then he says, "No, you are not fish." But what he meant to say is, "You are not sinners. You are children of God." But then it leads in, and this is the very last lines of this last talk that Swami gave. Swami, through most of his life, he kept his feelings inside of him. He never wanted to reveal the tenderness of his heart. At the end of his life, he was incapable of doing that, and it constantly broke through. So he's speaking again in Italian, and the entire phrase comes out. And it's one many of us have heard before. It's a quote from a French saint, but Swami just speaks it. "If you knew how much God loves you, you would die for joy." So Swami gets halfway through the Italian, "If you knew how much God loves you." And then he can't speak. I mean, clearly in that moment, he knew how much God loved him. And he could feel it, and his tears begin to flow, and his voice is choked, and it's all, you know, the camera's right here, you're just watching him like this, and you know what he's trying to say. And then, finally, he gets the rest of the phrase out. And then, that's the end. He can't speak anymore, and he doesn't want to speak anymore. So it's apparent that it's over, and someone comes to help him get up. And he says, "Thank you," to whomever, to everyone. And then after that, he says, "I can't remain." Now, of course, he meant, "I'm not well enough to stay through the rest of the service." But oh my, what divine harmony. He stands up, he says, "I can't remain. So you continue." And then he walked out. And then a week later, he passed away from this world. My goodness. Now, I'm thinking of John, the one whom Jesus loved. Now, think of all the realities that would have to come into place for one to feel so free as to define yourself completely as the one who is loved. Now, if we trace back so many of our difficulties in life, which are just legion, aren't they? They just go on and on, and as soon as one little trouble seems to have been stamped out, another one just raises its ugly head. It just seems, until it's all over, I mean, until freedom is attained, there's just a whole little, I don't know, it's a whole bunch of stevedores unloading this huge cargo thing, and you just manage to get one put aside and the next one comes. But once we sort our way through who did what to whom and how ashamed I am of what I did and all of this, it all comes down to very simple but profound human emotions. I want someone to understand. I want someone to read my heart as I feel it within myself. I want to be loved. Isn't that so? And think how many healings are possible. Think how many resolutions are possible just when that heart-to-heart power of love goes through, isn't it? I remember, I mean, we all have had these experiences. Sometimes people try to help you by scolding you and telling you what they're supposed to do. And I was facing a difficulty in my life, and I was smart enough to know what I really needed to do. It wasn't that I needed somebody to explain to me what I needed to do. I was just terrified to do it. And so somebody was trying to help me by making clear to me what screw-up I was. You know, as I have mistakenly tried to help other people by telling them the same thing, you know, what comes around goes around, or what goes around comes around, as they say, whatever it is. But I realized I don't need to be instructed. I just need to be loved. Because all my shortcomings are because I'm afraid. If I'm not afraid, and what's going to make me not afraid? That feeling that I'm not alone. And not merely that they're physical people on other all sides of me, but that I am known. Isn't that what we long for? We do our best with each other. But the nature of this world is such that we have these weird boundaries, don't we? You know, no matter how tightly we hug one another, we never actually merge, do we? You know, and we're always gripping mentally, physically, all these different ways we're gripping, because somehow we want to be more than we are. We want to be known through and through. Now, this world would be a very tragic place, except that it isn't. And the message comes through your awakened sons ever and again. And as Jesus came, I come to deliver to you the message of the Father. I am here to tell you, and far more than just telling you, because words are just a symbol. You can say love, and if you've never been loved, you don't even know what that means. But I am here to give you, if you will receive me, the experience of what it is to be known. And after that, where would we ever go? And this is why the Masters incarnate, because this is God's love freely given. In our song, which we sing every week in the Festival of Light, but Swamiji wrote it in his oratorio to represent, to express the inspiration he felt when he was sitting in the place where Jesus was crucified. You remain our friend. And the lines that we sing, long we feared to face your love, lest our emptiness it prove. Now at last, our hearts we give you, for you remain our friend. Now, you know, I've thought about those lines for a really long time. And for a long time, I pretended I didn't understand them. I just didn't want to understand them. Because we're all holding on to this thought. This is why it takes us so long to get liberated. Master said that over the countless incarnations that we've had, which are in the millions, that we have to try out everything else first. You know, I've certainly known from my own experience that I only learn from my own experience. It doesn't matter how clearly my mother articulated it to me. It's only when I actually do it that I actually realize. And, you know, we may remember advice, we may consider advice, but usually we don't take it. Usually we take advice after we don't take advice, and then we do. But more than that, the heart is looking for fulfillment. And this world, for God's own mysterious reasons, is so constituted that we think we can reach for it like this. So Master tells us we do, and we try out everything. Master told Swamiji that before liberation comes, you know, every single desire has to be fulfilled. Swami said, even like a desire when I was a child for an ice cream cone? And Master said, yes, even that. Now, of course, God, who wants to believe that? It's just overwhelming. You add in things like Kriya Yoga, where you can kind of dissolve big batches of them at the same time. Otherwise, this is going to go on for a while. But the reasoning behind it, and it does go on for a while, but the explanation for it is actually very crystal clear. Because as long as part of me still wants that, I will not be able to give you my whole heart. And that's what Master is really saying. No piece of us can still think and accept everything is yours, but not this. Because the love that God wants to give us fills every space that's open to him, as many as received him, and insofar as we receive him. So every other thought in our mind, the yes, but also happiness here, and also happiness here. But then comes what Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, this is why it is a happy story. Even though in the midst of loss, it's hard to believe at times. So we have this story of Easter. What greater loss? This light unto the world for these disciples and devotees who had come into the tumultuous times in which they lived, and the confusion even within their own synagogues as to what was true, the corruption to a very large extent of their own faith. Into this walks this power, which he has revealed to them in so many ways, not the least of which was miracle after miracle, to the point of raising the dead. And they're riding this wave of his seeming ascendancy. Then he's arrested, crucified, died, and put into the cave. Just, you know, imagine everything they believed and then everything taken away. And for 3 days, 2.5 days, they just had to live with that. For incarnation sometimes, for years, for days and nights of endless despair, it appears to us that the promise has been broken. You know, and this is when we begin to protect our hearts. Long we feared to face your love. We just don't know what's really going on inside of us. We don't yet believe in the power of that love, and we're still too afraid to recognize what the despair that would descend upon us if we had to face the emptiness without that promise. So then comes Easter morning, and Mary Magdalene, who was, you know, the least restrained of all the disciples, who had lived a life where she had so defied convention that she had completely no regard for it. Plus she had the responsibility, she wanted to prepare the body properly. She's crazed with her grief. So she goes early at the first moment that the Sabbath was over and she was allowed to take this action. And she's concerned, she has another woman with her there. They have to get this big rock away. How are they going to move that rock? I mean, they're not being practical, they're just going. How are they going to move the rock? And they get there and the rock is moved. Like, who moved the rock? Yeah, they start there. Oh, great, we can go in, but then there's nothing there but the winding sheets. And the Bible is always very exact about this, which is very interesting, that the face and head covering was in one place, and the body coverings were on this side, as they say, as if Jesus sat up and removed it and then took off the rest. Which even Master mentions is an interesting point, because he actually seemingly raised that body. He just didn't rematerialize it.
But there it is, and she's just so bewildered and so agitated. Angels appear to her. Finally, she runs back, gets the other disciples. They run. I mean, you can just see what a morning this was. Everybody's like this. And finally, this white-clad figure stands in front of her. She's so overwhelmed. She doesn't know who it is. And I love this. The Bible says she thought it was the gardener. It was just such a real point, isn't it? She thought it was the gardener. She says, "Do you know what they've done with his body?" And then the gardener speaks, and he says, "Mary." And she recognizes him. And then the rest of the story follows. And Jesus then, for 40 days, Jesus appeared here and there into all the disciples and eventually took care of everyone. "Long we feared to face your love, lest our emptiness it prove. Now at last, our hearts we give you."
Oh, the night
little more joy that we're going to be able to send out into the world in a moment. As you can see, we have our children's choir here today from Family Service. So, Julie.
We're singing a song called I Wander With Thee, which we don't often chant together, and we would love to have you join us the second time we sing it through. The words will be projected so that you can sing along with us. So the families will sing it two verses one time through, and then feel free to join us the next time through.
That's in our heart. Asha, at the beginning of service, prayed that we'd always hear the divine speaking in our heart. And now we'll take what's in there and spread it. Swami Kriyananda said, when you move your arms, think as though you are spreading light. So we're going to do that with the song Joyful, Joyful. So if any of you would like to come up here.
So this is our practice run. Okay. Joyful, joyful. We adore thee, heavenly glory, divine love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of pain and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day.
Amen.
Let's all raise our hands now and send the great gifts that we've received today, all of the joy, hearts wide open, out into the whole world. Divine Mother, friend, beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Paramahansa Yoganandaji, saints of all religions, we humbly bow before you all. Beloved Christ, may thy love shine forever on the sanctuary of our devotion. And may we be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. Peace. Amen. Go out with joy.
I will live in joy.